thankful for the opportunity to be with you. First chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul defines for us to a degree the benefit of the preaching of the gospel. He begins that perhaps in the 15th verse of Romans 1. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I've been sitting over there with Brother Hewlin all day. I must pause and tell a story. I never met Brother Hewlin's father, but I do have in my possession a recording of one sermon that he preached. And he quoted this verse. And to emphasize the necessity of a man being called of God to preach the gospel, he read this verse and he said, "If God ain't called you, ain't nothing in you is." That pretty well explains the situation, does it not? Paul said, "So much as in me is." That is, with all the ability I possess, with all the strength I have, with all that I know, every ability, every strength, every fiber of my being is ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, the gospel is a particular message. A lot of folks have a story, a doctrine, that's not the gospel that Paul calls the gospel.
Right.
When the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel, he's dealing with that faith that was once delivered to the saints. That body of belief that God gave to the church, which is to serve as the ground and pillar of that truth. He gave it to them in one short space of time. Now, that thing and I are going to do battle. I'm sorry. The New Testament was written in less than a century, which is not long compared to the 6,000-year history of man and the earth upon which we live. So, we preach things. Primitive Baptist preachers preach things that are true, that are right, that are necessary, that aren't gospel. They're doctrine. They're important, but they're not part of that message of what Jesus has done for us. That is the good news to our souls of the manner of our eternal salvation. Brother Jeb came to me at supper and told me that I would be asked to stand here tonight. And one of my good friends gave me three options for things I could preach on tonight. You better be glad he's not in charge.
I was just kidding.
One of them was church discipline. And think the second one was divorce and remarriage. And
origin of Satan.
The origin of Satan. Now, two of those need to be preached. Two of those are very important. I just covered the origin of Satan thoroughly. I've told you everything tonight that the Bible says about it. All right? So I got that one covered. It doesn't need. We don't need to spend time on that. Those topics need to be understood. And recently, folks from home are saying, please don't go back over this. I've been laboring considerably to cover those topics, not the origin of Satan, but the other two. I've been covering, working to try to make sure that the folks at home get it, that they understand what the truth is, what the Bible teaches, what the Lord requires of us in those regards. I think it's very, very important for the health of our churches that that be done. But look, it's not the gospel.
Right.
And when folks come to me afterward and say they enjoyed it, I know there's something wrong with them at a deep emotional level. Or they're lying. One or the other. You know, it's not meant to be enjoyable. But the gospel... The gospel ought to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
It ought to warm our hearts. It ought to encourage us to press into the service of God. The gospel is the message of the love of God to specific sinners.
Yeah.
Paul in the Corinthian epistle said the love of Christ constraineth us. Now that word constraineth can have two meanings. They're opposites. One means it moves us forward and the other means to restrain us. It's an odd word. But I believe Paul uses it here in the sense of encouraging us and motivating us and giving us a reason to press on in service to God. He said the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. Well, I tell you, if you're going to judge what Paul said we judge, somebody is going to need to have taught you some stuff about the truth concerning the Lord Jesus. There are many, many of God's children who cannot come to this judgment. They've never heard the possibility of this fact being true. But Paul, in talking to the church, said, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Yeah.
Brother Mike, was it this morning? Galatians 2:20, was that you? I tell you, brother, that's been a sweet text to me for a long time. Let's look at it again, just a minute. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What does he mean? When Jesus died, I was in him.
Yeah. Amen.
And I died with him.
Yeah.
It is as though I bore that sin and satisfied divine justice.
Yeah.
I didn't, but one who represented me did.
Amen.
One who was acting in my room, in my stead, in my place, and specifically for me.
Yes.
You say, oh, you're getting a little carried away now when you say specifically for me. No, sir.
No, sir.
If Jesus didn't die specifically for James Isaacs, I'll never see heaven.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He didn't die for just everybody. And he didn't die for just anybody. He died for specific individuals.
Amen.
There is a descriptive adjective that is used in the Bible to identify those for whom he died. They are called in Scripture the elect.
Amen.
Folks in this world don't much want to talk about the elect. But now, they love to talk about being Christians. You know how many times the Bible calls believers Christians? Twice, I believe. Now, I heard guesses from 1 to 3. I just took that. I think it's 2. They were called Christians first at Antioch. I don't remember the other one, actually. But it's a couple. That's it. 14 times in the New Testament, those for whom Jesus died are called the elect.
Yeah.
The Bible uses the term 7 times as many as it does the term Christian.
Amen.
Why would it bother folks to be called the elect?
Yeah.
Because nobody's explained election to them.
Right.
They don't believe there is an election, that there was an election. Well, I tell you something. If there wasn't an election, there can't be an elect. And there is an elect. The Bible affirms that. My interest tonight is in having Bible evidence that I'm among that elect. I'll get to that, I hope, in a minute. All right. The love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge. Now, I'm interested in a fair and impartial judgment in this matter. All right? The reason I thought I might not get to come to this meeting was I got a summons to be a witness in a court case yesterday. I didn't get summoned. The court case was supposed to have been yesterday. So, because I was the only witness, I thought maybe I need to be present. I didn't even ask to be excused. Probably need to be present. Now, I don't know really what ought to be done with the fellow that got drunk and ran through my fence, but... I'm not really mad at him about it. He's got a lot of problems, a lot of physical problems. He tried to take his life a few years ago and shot himself in the cheek and survived that. But he didn't survive it without some damage to a very important organ. And, he's just messed up. And... they need to take his driver's license away, I think that. But you see, it's not up to me to make the judgment. But since I was the only witness, I probably could present the court with facts that are pertinent to the case. Now, Paul said, we thus judge. He's talking about the church members. The members of the church need to come to the correct judgment.
Yeah.
But in order that they come to the correct judgment, they need to be equipped with the correct information.
Yeah.
They need to be taught the truth that will enable them to make the correct judgment. The judgment that you need to make is this. You need to judge, am I a child of God or am I not? You don't need to sit back and wait till the resurrection morning. Won't have to anyway. But you don't need to sit back and wait till you die to find out whether you're a child of God or not.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you this. If you're interested in finding out, that demonstrates you are a child of God.
Amen.
All right? It won't take you a lot of research to figure this out. If somebody just explains to you a few very basic facts about the election of God and about the consequence of the election of God, that's the gospel message.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Things that will convince the elect that they are elect.
I
like that kind of preaching. I tell you, when a man gets up and preaches in such a way that I leave the meeting feeling like I'm a born again child of God, I'm hell proof, I'm on my way to glory, I feel good about it, brother. I do. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. I like that. Yes, sir, that's a message from Paul to me. I take it that way. Because what he said about them applies to me sometimes. It does. How did he know they were among the elect of God? Because our gospel, which was preached to you, came not in word only. It didn't come in word only. You know, I better leave that off. But it came in power. In power. What is power anyway? Some of you engineers. Power is the ability to do work, isn't it? It involves movement somewhere. Horsepower is the way we measure it, one way we measure power. And that's got a specific numeric description. 550 foot-pounds of work in a certain period of time. That's a horsepower, if I remember correctly. I'm not an engineer. All right? Power involves moving somebody. I tell you, when the gospel is preached to me in power, it has an effect on me that moves me. It may not move me physically. Sometimes it just about does. But it may not move me physically, but it'll elevate my thoughts. It'll raise them to a higher plane. It'll get my mind out of the ditch of this world, out of the troubles of this world, and lift them into heaven itself. And I tell you, when that kind of power gets a hold of me, I go home rejoicing in what the Lord has done. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, if I could preach it like Paul preached it and see brethren rejoicing in it, and it came to them in power and in much assurance, thank you, and in the Holy Ghost, it'd be all right. Now, I'm not going to be as bold as Brother Hartcrow, but I'll tell you what he said, and I'm close to him. He says sometimes, when the Lord really blesses me, I'd about soon hear me as anybody. I never have gotten quite that far. But I tell you what, if the Lord will bless me to preach, I can feed on it. I can. I can be helped by it. And sometimes even see something I had never seen before. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, I think he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. I like to read these writings like these books Brother Philip had here today. I read both those books years ago. He said something to me about it. He figured I already had them. I said, yeah, but they're getting kind of old and bad shape. I thought I might get me a new one. And then he sold out before I got around. That's all right. But I like to read those old books. But I tell you, it won't replace the power that there is in the preaching of the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
It won't replace this book either. You don't want to make the mistake of doing all your reading out of men's writings rather than reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And you sure want to check what you read that man wrote by the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't just start swallowing what somebody said because he has a good reputation. Not even Brother Ronnie. He does a lot of good writing, but check it by the Word of God.
Amen.
And he knows I do.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the. Oh, something unique about the gospel. Something unique about the gospel. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Something unique about it.
Amen.
I tell you, this world's figured out all kinds of things to do to improve the gospel. They got all kinds of systems to teach folks what they need to know that do not involve the preaching of the gospel. You know, some folks came up with the Sunday school about 200 years ago or something like that. 1792, was that when it was? Something like that. When some folks over in England started. And they really, you know, those folks in England that started, they were trying to, what they were teaching was poor children letters.
Right.
Reading and writing. They weren't trying to teach them the principles of religion. Really, you know, it started out admirable. But, you know, the opportunists in the world, they seize the opportunity. Going to increase the population of heaven. I don't know about all that. Yeah, it's nonsense. But anyway, Paul said the preaching of the gospel is the power. You don't need to try to develop something else to replace it.
Amen.
You know, in our country today, we've been running on gasoline, diesel, and electricity for a pretty good while. That is, and we so hung up on coming up with new sources of power that we've gone, well, yeah, among other things.
Yeah.
We've gone off the deep end in this society, trying to figure out new ways to power things. Some of them work and some of them don't, some of these new things. Some of the ones that work make sense, and most of them don't. Pretty hard to beat fossil fuel and fossil fuel-generated electricity. Pretty hard to beat. They work. We're not near out. I just can't quite get panicked about the earth just wearing out. I just can't do it. You know, Brother Tony told us tonight that the Lord upholdeth all things by the word of his power. This earth is 6,000 years old. It's been spinning on its axis for 6,000 years, and nobody's ever greased the bearings yet. Now, if you got a piece of farm equipment and you don't grease the bearings, it goes out. But this earth doesn't have any grease fittings. I'm not just playing now. I'm serious. Why not? Because God upholds it.
Amen.
God has it spinning. God has it stable. I tell you, quit worrying about the earth and start worrying about you.
Amen.
And getting you straight.
Amen.
If you'll get your life in as good a shape as God has the earth in, you'll be getting along really well.
Amen.
Paul said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth. Who believes? Well, I read over in 1 John, whosoever believeth is born of God.
Amen.
Now look, there's a world of difference in saying he is born of God and saying he will be born of God or he could be born of God. Everyone that believeth, whosoever believeth, is born of God.
Amen.
They're already alive.
Amen.
In the spirit.
Yep.
The new birth has been accomplished. You can say of them, a child is born. How? By the sovereign work of the Holy God. He does that work himself. By himself.
Amen.
That's the way he redeemed us.
Yeah.
That's the way he quickens us. That's the way he's going to take us to heaven
right.
When this earth is done.
Right.
He's going to do all that by himself.
Right.
You know, now I'm a little younger than my seatmate over there. But I've gotten old enough that every once in a while the younger brethren think they got to help me a little bit. I appreciate it. I tell you, a little harder for me to stand up when I get down on my knees than it used to be. I told our deacons at home the other day, we got to have a handrail up there by that baptistry. I'm getting too tottery for this. I need a handrail. And they're working diligently to try to figure out how to mount one. They'll get it. You know, I realize that there's weakness creeping up on me in spite of me. I didn't really plan on it this quick. It's coming. But the gospel is not getting old.
Amen.
Because it's the message of an eternal God.
That's right. Amen.
And it's just as fresh today as it was when it was once delivered to the saints. Now, Paul said it's the power of God unto everyone that believeth. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. When the gospel is preached, it ought to show some poor sinner that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been imputed to him by God the Father. And I tell you, that's good news.
Amen.
If you're laboring and are heavy laden, burdened down with the load of guilt, and some poor preacher who probably doesn't dress as well as some folks think he ought, may not always get his words pronounced correctly, may give you the wrong book in the Bible when he cites his text, may misread it when he reads it, but if God will bless him with power to show you that the righteousness of Jesus has been credited to your account by the power of the God of the universe, you can go away rejoicing.
Amen.
You can. And that's what the preacher really wants to do anyway. Paul said in writing to Timothy, he said, I endure all things. Now, Paul endured a bunch. He really did. He got abused and mistreated and beaten. Mercy. I know that the face of our Lord was more marred than that of any man, but I tell you, Paul was right there. He could not have been far behind what he saw. But he said, I endure that. And he was willing to do it some more. I mean, he's not quitting. He said, he didn't say I did endure. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sakes. Oh, I love that. For the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. As the brethren have preached today over and over, Brother Hewlin's leaned over and said there's a time salvation and there's an eternal salvation. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, we got to keep them straight.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to keep them straight. The gospel is essential to time salvation. But the gospel has no role in procuring our eternal salvation. And you can't give someone this time salvation who has not already been blessed with the eternal salvation.
Amen.
They're no use trying to preach it to folks not been chosen of God. Now look, I can't tell who they are. You know, they don't wear uniforms. They don't have badges. They don't have big marks on their head. I can't tell who they are. So I just preach if the Lord will bless me. And some will hear it and some won't. That's no mystery. Folks didn't hear Jesus when he preached either.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying everybody who goes away without hearing is among the non-elect. I wouldn't say that at all, but there's a possibility some of them are. There are still folks in this world who are not among the elect. Now, I don't get any kick out of that fact, but it is a fact. But I'm not worrying about them. I just want God's children to know they're children of God.
Amen.
And I want them to go home, put their head on their pillow with a heart of gratitude to God for what he's done, rather than with a heart of fear. Because
amen.
They don't know
amen.
What their eternal destiny is.
Yes. Right.
I don't want you leaving here tonight. I don't want you leaving here tonight thinking that you've been scared by the preacher and told that you need to get right with the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. I don't want you to do that. I hope everyone in this building for whom Jesus died goes home tonight saying thank God
amen.
For his mercy to me. I heard the gospel preached, and it reminded me of the love of Jesus for sinners like me. Now, Brother Jeb, you come to our country and preach that, and we'll rejoice till you get back home and longer. We will. But if you come over there and burden us down and tell us there's something we have to do in order to have eternal life, most of us are going to tell you don't come back. And if anybody takes it, they're going home carrying a burden they're not able to bear. I don't want to do that to anybody tonight. I thank you. I love you. I'm very thankful right now I had the privilege of being with you here at this church one more time. May God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
We're thankful, Brother James, that you're able to be here. Constrained, he said, and a moving. Often think, where are you? You know, we're all in different stages in our spiritual walks. But I think in Hebrews 6 it says, let us therefore go on unto perfection. Wherever you are, there's more to go.
That's right.
And this gospel moves you that way.
Amen.
Now, there's some of you who've been members many years. There's some that say, I don't know why I'm still here. But when you moved, there's something for you to do. And there's some of you, maybe like I was whenever I was from the age of 11 to 15. When I was 11, Brother R.A. Tyndall preached on salvation, and I wanted to join the church. And it took me 3 years. I guess that's 14. Four years. I was 15, I'm pretty sure. Brother Bass, Brother Hewlin preached, I tell you, I fought it for 4 years. Every Sunday, I ducked my head. And there wasn't any peace there.
Amen.
Brother Hewlin preached, take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
And I said, Brother, you're looking right at me the whole time. He says, no, I wouldn't. Well, I tell you, there's a movement there. And if this gospel tonight constrains you and moves you, well, I tell you, come forward.
Yeah. Amen.
Come join the church.
Amen.
Come walk with us. And if you want Brother James to baptize you tomorrow, we got rails. But I love you, and we're constrained by that gospel. Let's sing number 317.